French poet once said, "I shut my eyes in order to see." I invite you during this sermon, if you'd like to close your eyes. You can close them for almost this entire service if you'd like. It's up to you. But with eyes closed, imagine you are this man, born with blindness, never knowing what it's like to see anything. No awareness of what another person looks like, or a tree, or a hill, or a flower, a cloud. Never seeing the sky or the stars. No concept of light or color ever. What thoughts did this man have? Feelings. What feelings did he have? How did he spend his days, apart from begging, as we read in the story? How has he learned to navigate the world? And how did this man born with blindness fit into the community? There are hints of this in the narrative. From what the story says, here's how he fits. Here's his place in the community. He is the man who was born blind and a beggar. Those two things. And from what we gather in the story, that's really all he is. The man whose eyes don't work. No mention at all of what does work. Perhaps his mind, his heart, his hands, his legs, his desires, his thoughts. What skills did he possess, if any? What gave shape to his personality? Who was he really, this man born with blindness? It seems to the community around him, he is blind, he is a beggar. Oh, and one more thing. It's not so much that he's a person as much as a theological conundrum, a topic of discussion. Tell us, Jesus, who sinned to bring about this man's blindness, him or his parents? I wonder if this man's ever heard this question before, or if it's a question that he's asked himself, if it's a question that sits in his heart. What caused this? And is that all there is to me? The consequence of sin? This is his life, it seems. His world, everything he's known. This is his part in the community. His very identity, it seems, rooted in sin. And everything that's wrong in this world. And then enters Jesus. You know, you could preach a whole sermon on verse 1 in this story. Verse 1, as Jesus went along, he saw the man born blind from birth. Jesus saw him. Ask, how many people didn't see him, didn't notice this man at all, walked on by, avoided him, irrelevant, unnoticed, invisible. For a man who could not see, I imagine he was also largely unseen until Jesus comes along. And Jesus sees him. Those words alone are deeply profound. Dale Bruner, in his commentary, this little section title is this: Jesus notices the unsightly. He sees him. Jesus sees this man. So, because Jesus sees him, the disciples step up and they have something to say about it, don't they? I work as a hospital chaplain, and I've had many moments when I'm in a patient's room, the patient laying in the bed, and family or nursing staff, doctors, nurses are gathered at bedside, and I've had many moments when the staff who are gathered or the family who are gathered are talking about the patient as though the person isn't right there in front of them. Talking about them in front of them instead of talking to them. Sometimes also talking about them like they're not a person, like they're a case or a problem or a number, and not a person with their own agency at all. I wonder if that's a little bit what this scene is like. Jesus sees the man, and the disciples start to talk about him. Tell us, Jesus, who sinned to bring about this man's blindness, him or his parents? Because up till now, in this story, from what we gather, that's all he is, a discussion topic, a theological debate, an issue. Jesus disagrees with the question entirely. Wrong category. Author Amy Kenney wrote a book titled, I love the title, My Body is Not a Prayer Request. She said this man born with blindness is so much more than his blindness. She argues in her book that two miracles take place, bringing sight to this man's eyes, yes, and also seeing him as a person, made in the image of God and empowering him with dignity and agency to get up and go do something. No one's ever done that for him, very likely. Tell us, Jesus, who sinned to bring about this man's blindness, him or his parents? I imagine the man hears the voice of Jesus respond with these words. He is blind so that the works of God might be displayed in him. What? How might he have heard these words? What? Did I hear that right? God displayed in me? No, surely I heard that wrong. Next, he feels something, perhaps cold, earthy, grainy, being pressed against his eyes. Jesus had spat on the ground, made mud, and pressed it into his eyes. What is happening? I didn't ask for this. I didn't ask for anything. Who is this man? I think I heard them call him Jesus. And then he hears the voice of Jesus, this time speaking to him. Go and wash in the pool of Siloam. One commentator said this, Jesus doesn't ask the man if he wants this, or even if he believes Jesus enough to do this. Jesus gives no preliminary conditions for healing at all. He simply and compassionately goes to work. And something made this man born with blindness respond. He follows Jesus' instruction. This man, given a task, starts to move. He obeyed. He went to the pool. He washed. And I wonder, what would have happened had he not obeyed? I wonder, what would the story have continued like if he'd stayed and said, no thanks, I'll just stay where I am, doing what I'm doing, ignored Jesus' instruction entirely. But as it is, as the story goes, he went. He washed the mud from his eyes, and a miracle occurred. Having never seen the light of the world, he is healed by the light of the world. for the first time ever, bits of light creep in. Now, what's he thinking? What is happening? My brain can't keep up. Forms and shapes maybe appear in his mind and in his vision. Contours, lines of things right in front of him. Suddenly he realizes an unthinkable and an impossible thought. I can see. I can see. He looks up, down, left, right. Something green comes in and blue color, texture, the sky, the earth, the water of the pool before him, the faces of the people around him. I wonder if he had to close his eyes. It's too much to take in. Sensations and feelings never felt before. The man born with blindness can see. That has never happened before. What must this have been like? Surely, surely, utterly bewildering, overwhelming, frightening, and glorious. A whole new world opening up before him, his life completely changed. If you've had your eyes closed this entire time and aren't asleep, I invite you to open them. This man's eyes can now see. And it's hard to say what he must have felt, but I assume joy was at least part of his experience, which no doubt led to a longing to share this joyous news with his community, with his family. Anyone with ears to hear he has been healed. I was blind and now I see. What a testimony. Only to be met with tragic, heartbreaking response from everyone. Everyone. I mean, after all, he is just the man born with blindness, a beggar, and a discussion topic. Not much more. Folks around him continue to see him in this way. The response to this miracle, there's no hallelujah, there's no praise God, there's no celebration, there's no how does it feel, what's it like, no sharing in his joy. Rather, the Pharisees, they investigate the incident, full of skepticism. They riddle him with questions. Who did this? What day did they do this? Wait a minute. What day did they do this on? The Sabbath. How did you receive sight? We don't believe you. Tell us again. Who was this man? It seems the fruit of Jesus seeing this man as he went along and the resulting miracle, the fruit of that is a fracture in how the community and social structure expects to see this man. It just remains the same. He no longer fits. Disdain for this man. You can hear their cutting words and see their accusing faces as the healed man tries to make sense of what happened to him with them, with humor even, saying, I told you already, weren't you listening? Do you want to know who he is so you can follow him too? And then you hear the real emotion in their response. You were steeped in sin at birth. How dare you lecture us? And they threw him out. Having been truly seen by Jesus, the healed man, healed from his blindness, now finds himself perhaps more alone than ever before. Even his parents side with the Pharisees and reject him out of fear. And as he comes to terms with his newfound sight, the blindness of the community becomes more and more evident, lacking the vision to see what is right there before them. This man no longer fits, and they do not have the imagination. They do not accommodate or make room. How tragic that he has no one to share this news with, likely still reeling with questions about what happened and who this man was named Jesus. Somehow, this healed man now has to make his own way. He has to make sense out of what's happened to him. He has to decide, if anything, what he'll say about it from now on. And perhaps most difficult, he has to do it alone. One of the most wonderful things about this story hangs in the question asked by the Pharisees over and over, and asked by this man himself: who is Jesus? Who is this man who brought sight to the man born with blindness? This story is the slow reveal of who Jesus is, at least for this man who has been healed. This parallels maybe so many other people's experiences of coming to know Jesus. Maybe your own experience of coming to know Jesus starts as a glimpse, fosters questions and curiosity. Who is this man? And slowly comes to recognize, this was Jesus all along. I wonder how many people have had significant or healing encounters with Jesus, not knowing it was him, until way later. This was Jesus all along. It seems that this man's confidence in Jesus increases as the religious leader's reluctance progresses, and the man healed moves from identifying his healer as only the man called Jesus to replying to the Pharisees, he must be a prophet. And when they press with questions even further, he responds, he must be from God. And then finally, when they completely reject him and he's thrown out from the community, rejected by his family, Jesus himself finds him. Jesus finds him. Reveals himself to the healed man, the light of the world, come that he might see. And the man responds by bowing down before him in worship. It's the only time in the Gospel of John that anyone is said to do this. Nothing more than a man born with blindness, begging, and the result of sin and everything that's wrong in this world, until Jesus sees something more, something deeper, something different, the light of the world. I'd like to just end with a poem that you may have received at the door as you came in. And as I read this poem, I invite you, with eyes open, to think about the eyes of Jesus, looking on this man born with blindness and looking on us today. This is a John O'Donohue poem called The Eyes of Jesus. And sometimes with poems, it's great practice just to find the one or two things that stay with you. And just hold on to those things as I read, because there's a lot here. But let's end with John O'Donohue's poem, The Eyes of Jesus. I imagine the eyes of Jesus were harvest brown, the light of their gazing suffused with the seasons, the shadow of winter, the mind of spring, the blues of summer, and amber of harvest, a gaze that is perfect sister to the kindness that dwells in his beautiful hands. The eyes of Jesus gaze on us, stirring in the heart's clay the confidence of seasons that never lose their way to harvest. This gaze knows the signature of our heartbeat, the first glimmer from the dawn that dreamed our minds, the crevices where thoughts grow, long before the longing in the bone sends them to the mind's eye. The artistry of the emptiness that knows to slow the hunger of outside things until they weave into the twilight side of the heart. A gaze full of all that is still future, looking out for us to glimpse the jeweled light of winter stone, quickening the eyes that look at us to see through to where words are blind to say that we would love. Forever falling softly on our faces, his gaze piles the soul with light, laying down luminous layer beneath our brief and brittle days until the appointed harvest comes assured and harvest left to unravel the last black knot and we are back home in the house we never left. Amen.